This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 50 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today. And with me on the show tonight, I've got a crowd with me tonight, is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle, where are you? Oh, there you are. Stick your hand up. Oh, there you go. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Mike. What's in the water tonight?
I don't know.
You sound, for a man who's got many podcasts to do today, you sound very, very ramped up. And this is going to be a very interesting topic, so you should be. But before we get to that, I have a very special shout out. And guess who this one is for, Michael?
You didn't have to.
This is actually for you because everybody out there knows that Mike has been battling injuries. And I was wondering if you would share what you were able to do yesterday, because it's been very hard for you even to walk, let alone run.
Well, I don't want to take a lot away from the podcast. I can tell, and I don't know how many people know this, but I mean, I really, really re-injured an old ACL injury back in September, and it was really, really bad. And I tried to come back too soon, and I discovered that you don't come back by running 9 miles. Every time you get a chance, and I suffered a setback. So I decided I'm just going to hold back and I'm going to just start doing things a little bit easier. So I'm not running until April, but I'm doing some power walking, and I'm finding out that if I walk real fast, that when I do come back and I decide to do a Galloway approach to any race, I'm probably going to be walking faster than I never have before. So I did like a 2-hour power walk yesterday, and so far so good. And I hope to get back into the running program in April. The knee is not 100%, but it's getting there. And I miss running with all my friends, and hopefully we'll get there. So
well,
thank
great.
You for Toto.
We're proud of you. Congratulations.
We have three special guests with us tonight. And what we'll do is I'm going to introduce each one of them. And then after we introduce them, we'll tell everyone what the show is about tonight. So our first guest hails from a place that he will tell us. And his name, and he's been on the show before, is Charlie Gessner. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Mike. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Charlie.
Charlie, tell everybody where you're from.
I am from Claremont, New Hampshire, which is in the western part of the state. And we're still getting some snow up here. I can't believe it.
Wow, this is a very New Hampshire top-heavy show tonight, I think.
Yes, yes. Very, very New Hampshire. I'll tell you, Charlie, I've had snow on the end of my street till the third week in April, so got a ways to go.
Yay.
Yeah.
Also joining us on the show is Megan Biller. Hello, Megan.
Hello.
And where do you hail from, Megan?
I hail from Western Michigan, where we also have a lot of snow still, unfortunately.
Megan has something. I mean, Megan, we don't know much about you, so can you quickly tell us your Disney race experience and some other important fact that we should know about you?
Yes. I started running about 2 years ago, and I have run the Disney Princess, the Disneyland Half Marathon, the Wine and Dine, and just this January finished my first marathon at Disney, which I know Michelle did as well. We braved that heat. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Coming from Michigan was not so fun in that heat. But I also co-wrote a book called The Runner's Guide to Walt Disney World. And my friend Krista and I wrote it, and we put the 2013 edition out late last year, and we're already working on the 2014 edition. So it's pretty exciting.
Oh, that's really cool. That's neat. Can we get it on Amazon?
Yes. It is available in paperback and ebook on Amazon. And then we also have a website. It's runnersguidetowdw.com. And we also have a blog that kind of goes with it as well.
We will check it out. And we'll probably have you and your partner on another show, too.
Excellent.
Great.
Definitely, definitely. Our third guest is an old friend of the show. And along with Joe Terracani, I'm going to say that we're jealous of your voice because you have a good radio voice. And he is our friend Mike Paxton. Welcome back, Mike.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm happy to be back.
And Mike, tell everybody where you're from. You're from New Hampshire too, right? No,
I'm from snowy Boulder. Oh, no, it's not snowy. I'm from Boulder, Colorado. I think you guys can be jealous. We had a nice 70-degree day here the other day. I had shorts and sandals on, and today it was up to 60. So we're enjoying good weather here.
But in all fairness, you always have shorts and sandals on, right?
It's true. I do like to wear shorts and sandals quite a bit.
Who doesn't? Well, we've brought Charlie, Megan, and Mike on to talk about a very interesting topic. There's been a lot of, a lot of rumors lately about some things going on with Run Disney, one of which involves a potential half marathon to be run in Disneyland Paris, and that would be in 2014. Now, it's not official. It's just been something like a feeler that Run Disney has been sending out. And they've been sending out a few other feelers, and we'll talk about them later in the show. But what we're going to do is we're going to go around the table, and we're going to think about that rumor, and we're going to ask Charlie, Megan, and Mike, each of them, to give us what they would love to see as far as a Run Disney event. Before we get to our guests, I'm going to ask Michelle to tell us a little bit about what we have seen as far as posts on our Facebook page regarding what people would like to see for a Run Disney event. Michelle?
Well, the background for this is you actually posted, Mike, asking people what would be their fantasy Disney race, and people on the Mickey Miles podcast page went crazy, and they added a lot of responses. And then a few days later, we heard about this rumor, and everybody was saying, I'm there, I'll go to Paris and run. So let me start off with a few things that people on our Facebook page, including our guests here, what they said. Chrissy Murphy said that she would love to do Disneyland Paris, but she would also love to run through Tokyo Disney, which I think would be really cool. And Elizabeth Davenport O'Brien, this is the one that I would want to. She said she'd like to see a Muppets-themed 5K through the Hollywood studios. I think that would be really cool. So should we see what our guests have to say?
I think that it's time to put these guys on the spot, and we're going to start off with our New Hampshire neighbor, Charlie Gessner. Charlie, you have the floor. What would you like to see?
Well, I was one of the ones that posted on your Facebook page, and I'm a DVC member. And I had mentioned that I'd love to see a half marathon at Aulani. And I think Hawaii is something that a lot of people could do. It wouldn't be that expensive, especially, I think, for people on the West Coast. I think sometimes people on the West Coast are a little jealous of all the races that are on the East Coast. But Aulani, I think, would be great. And then anything DVC. I mean, I could see them doing maybe a Vero Beach. And I know they've got the property in South Carolina too. I think it's Myrtle Beach. So as a DVC member, I'd love to see them branch out into some DVC territories.
Oh, I would love that. That sounds like a great idea. I'd love an excuse to go back to Hawaii and Vero Beach too. I'm a huge Vero Beach fan. It might cost a little money to get there, though.
Yeah. Do you think it would be just as expensive to do that as Paris, Charlie? Or what do you think?
I don't know. Right now, the thing that's attractive for me, more so than the price, is the fact that I can go to a Florida run or even the California run I'm going to do this September, and I can do it in about 4 days. The problem with any of these other races, like in a Paris or even a Hawaii, I think, you're looking at least a week. So for me, it's more about finding the time than it is probably the price.
I can tell you, 2 years ago, 2 years ago at this time of year, I was in France, and I did run in France, but it took me about 2 to 3 days to get my body used to the time change, even though it was only 5 hours, but still 5 hours is 5 hours.
Yeah.
So the thing is, and you're right, Charlie, it would probably be a week of time, because you need at least, I'd say, 48 hours to really get your body in sync with the time. And I think that would happen also with Hawaii too.
So Charlie, what distance are you thinking about in Hawaii? Because I mean, I've only been to Hawaii once, but the resorts seem to be pretty compact. I don't know. Maybe other people have different experiences. Yeah.
I thought half marathon. I mean, I don't see people going out there for just a 5K. Mm-hmm. So I would think a half marathon or a marathon would probably be best out there.
Yeah, you have to justify the cost and the time with a credible distance like a half marathon.
I wonder if on there, right around that property, if they could do a 5K like once a month, you know, with the people that are staying there, sort of like they do with the Castaway Key. I wonder if they could arrange something like that just as a fun thing to do around the resort.
I think that sounds like a great idea. I'm sure a lot of people would do it.
Yeah, you know, Michelle has been drinking the 5K Kool-Aid for a while, Mike, so you know, you had a good audience there. Okay, Michelle, how about a few more from Facebook?
Sure. Let's see. So we have, I thought this was an interesting one. Chris Ducasse said he would like to do a Wreck-It Ralph obstacle course, maybe a 5K, a 10K, or a 10-miler. And Danielle Meisen said that she was all for the Disneyland Paris half marathon and that she thought it would be really neat if it was themed like Beauty and the Beast. Mike would like that, I know. Mike Scopo would like that.
Oh, yeah, I'd run around in a blue dress with a white white apron. That would be good. Okay, why don't we now turn to Megan. Megan, curious to hear from you because of your book and everything. So you've studied a lot of these Run Disney events, so you probably have a good idea as to what hasn't been done yet and what you would like to see. So why don't you give us an idea?
It was funny because when you said fantasy races, I didn't even think about different locations. I guess I get so focused on, you know, Walt Disney World or Disneyland. Actually, my fantasy race would be different theming. And what I would love to see is now that Disney has bought Star Wars, the Star Wars franchise, I would love to see a Star Wars themed race. I'll admit my reason is twofold, partially because I love the Star Wars series, but it's also because that's the only way my husband said he would run with me. So I figured, hey, if we can really push it, you know, that'd be a fun one. And I think that it would also get more, not that men aren't involved in the races, but you know I've heard a lot of men say, oh, there's the princess theme and there's the Tinkerbell theme, what about us? And so we thought that, you know, a Star Wars theme race that was longer. I know they did do a Star Wars 5K in Disneyland, but you know, having a half marathon themed one or longer would be really neat.
Yeah, I actually did the 5K in Disneyland when it was Star Wars themed, and it was really neat because they had at the beginning, and I'm not a big Star Wars fan. I mean, I'm a fan, but not a heavy-duty fan. But they had like stormtroopers at the beginning of the race up on this platform and Darth Vader, and they had characters all along the course that you could stop and have your picture taken. So I thought it was really fun, but to have a longer one would be really neat. Mike Paxton, what did you want to say?
My wife is listening in, and she just messaged me, and she said, how about an Endor-themed race for Star Wars weekend? You know, you do all the Ewoks, and they have that little song at the end of the movie, the Yub Yub song. They could have, like, a band playing that. I think that would be really cool.
Well, I mean, and I was thinking, well, they have Star Wars weekend. It'd be hot to run, but you know, if they could maybe move it up. Well, and when I told my husband, I said, oh, they should do a Star Wars themed one. And he's like, it'd be the Kessel Run, which
oh,
is
that's
part
great.
Of Star Wars.
Yeah, some Megan, other people mentioned that too on Facebook. Go ahead, Mike.
Megan, when she mentioned that, I would love to see the Cantina Band at like one of the mile stops for the half marathon as entertainment.
Exactly. There's so much they
could
do.
You're the Cantina Band, the first Star Wars?
Right. And I know that when I ran Wine and Dine, Darth Vader was my favorite character on the course. I'm sorry, what was that?
Oh, I was going to say, me too. That was the only picture I ended up taking that entire race was with Darth Vader.
Right. And it was something different, you know, as a different character. So I think it'd be, going a completely different way. Of course, my husband said Marvel too, but I know there's some, you know, issues with Universal with that. But having something that's a little bit different, maybe a little bit more... that's something men could really latch on to.
I think that's a really interesting idea. I never thought of it that way, that the princess is all about the women. Women like Star Wars too, but something that's more science fiction-y or male-themed. What do you think,
right.
Mike Scopa?
2 points. Number one, I believe that it has been recorded that for the most races that involve anything from 10K to full marathon, that something like 63% of those registered are usually women. So women dominate the sport right now. So that's why we have Princess and Tinkerbell, and it's great. Regarding Megan, that the idea of a Star Wars themed race is something that they could do during Star Wars weekends. They did have in 2006, I know because I ran it, they had a 15K on the first weekend in May. So it's still, I mean, it's okay to do it. I mean, I would not suggest a marathon, but a half marathon where most people will be done by 9 o'clock or maybe 9:30. I don't know. I think that's a possibility.
Having a shorter race too would be something, you know, a different distance would be unique too.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Mike Paxton wanted to jump in with some Mike? Interesting facts.
Oh no, I did some spreadsheets a while ago because I was curious how many people have been signing up for the Run Disney races, and it's just incredible. Except for the marathon, how women just dominate almost every Run Disney event. That they really did a smart choice when they decided to add women themed events, because that is their primary customer by 30-40% on some of these races that they have more than men.
I noticed that they've been really posting that and talking about it a lot too.
Mike, I like that you're doing stats in your spare time.
Hey, Mike, there's something else to this too, and that is that Disney recognizes that something like 85% of the families who come to Walt Disney World have their trips planned by mom. So that comes into the play too.
Good point.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, Michelle, more Facebook stuff.
Okay, so I love these ideas. Now, our friend Laurie Burke had a great one, and her idea was to replace the Tower of Terror 10K and add a villains half marathon the weekend before Halloween. That would be really interesting to have all the villains out there. I know that there have been some villain stops along the way in some of these races, but just to see the costumes that people would come up with, that would be really kind of cool.
I like that idea, people running as villains. You know, I don't think I've seen too many people running as villains.
Yeah, that might be fun. And somebody else, our friend Alex Armis, wanted to have a sunrise safari trail run, but of course it had to be through the protected areas of Kilimanjaro Safari. Anybody else want to chime in on that? What do you think of those ideas?
I'm surprised they haven't added more villains to Tower of Terror, since that was kind of the thought behind it. That was my impression when they first mentioned the Tower of Terror 10 miler, that it was going to be more villain based.
I think that would be really fun. Mike P?
I think. Okay.
Oh, no. Yeah, I think the villains idea is a great idea. I think that's popular. I think everyone loves whenever they do a villains event. So I think continuing that idea and sort of popularizing that, I think that would be a great choice for them.
I was wondering if the reason why you don't see too many villains is that it takes a lot of work to get a cast member in the villain guise. There's a lot of makeup and things like that. I don't know if that plays into it, but it could be. But I think that's a valid point. If it's a villain bash, then why not have more villains on the course? You know. So. Okay.
I'm ready to hear Mike Paxton's idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a feeling I know what it is, but Mike, surprise us. Go ahead.
So I was sort of just racking my brain to come up with something interesting, and I thought an endurance event might be interesting, and so like a longer event. So my idea is a 12-hour start at 8 p.m., go to 8 a.m., sunset to sunrise race, relay race, where you basically do loops between Epcot and Hollywood Studios, about a 6-mile course, and do a big block party in Epcot and a big block party in Hollywood Studios, and people can party all night long and cheer on these teams, these relay teams. And then basically you'd have teams of 4 or 6 people that can sort of do laps. So you do one lap of 6 miles and someone else does another lap. And between laps you can go and hang out and eat some food and cheer on the other racers and just make it sort of an all-night fun thing to sort of, you know, keep the parks open all night long. Sort of came out of the idea of the 24-hour Disney day that they did last year that I think a lot of people liked staying up all night long. And if you could do that in the two parks, I think that would be a lot of fun.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I was there for one more Disney day, and I tell you, I got real tired. And having said that, Mike, trying to look at it from a logistical standpoint, first off, looking at it from a runner standpoint, that's pretty exciting, and I'd love to do that. Mm. Looking at it from a race director, especially a Walt Disney World race director's perspective, my first thought is, okay, so where would we have the course, and how would we be able to do that course without inconveniencing the guests who are not runners who are in the parks that night? And number two, how are we going to handle the traffic? And I think that's always going to be a factor whenever they think about these races. They're always thinking about traffic. And probably that's why when they do have the night races, they don't start till 10 o'clock. But I like that.
I thought about the same thing, and you're right. The only way that I can see really doing it by looking at the map is closing down World Drive, and I agree. Logistically, I don't know how I'd do it. It's sort of a dream idea, I think. I they would have to be really creative on the hours of the parks that night.
Well, yeah. You know, Mike. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, but I think it is a dream idea, but if anybody could do it, it's Disney. I mean, they've managed some of these other races that probably we would have said, start a race at 10 o'clock. How can that be done? And you know, go ahead, Mike. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, you know, if you did a reversal of the marathon course and you started off at maybe World of Sports and you ran, you know, that back road to the Magic Kingdom and you did it sometime, I don't know, around 8 o'clock at night and you closed the Magic Kingdom at that time, you might be able to get away with it. But there's so many little things that we can't think of that I'm sure that they think of that, you know, they would have to figure out a real idiot-proof way of doing that. But I like the idea, Mike. It's pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah.
They've closed down parks early before, so
yep, for parties
if they know it's coming.
Like that. Yeah, yep, that's true. Should I read a few more, Mike, that people have?
Sure.
So our buddy Bonnie Gray Smith had a great idea. She thought of a Pixar-themed race. And I know they had a Buzz and Woody 5K. I ran that with my son a few years ago. That would be kind of neat. And Emerson Pratt from New Zealand said he would like to see a WDW half Ironman. But I actually think that they already have a half Ironman there. I remember being down there in May once and running into somebody. And they do the swimming part in, what's the name of the water outside of the Magic Kingdom? I always forget.
Well, they used to have something like that in Fort Wilderness.
What's the name of that water?
Bay Lake.
Bay Lake, Muddy, yeah. Buddy. So he was telling me about swimming in Bay Lake and how gross it was. So I don't know if they still do it, but ooh. Mike Paxton, did you have a question?
Well, I was just wondering if any of the water parks have big enough pathways to sort of run through them. I just always wonder, you know, those close early enough at night that for one of the night races, it might be also fun to have a course that detours through one of the water parks. So you could sort of like run around Typhoon Lagoon or whatnot. But I'm not sure if the pathways are big enough to deal with that.
I'm very familiar with Typhoon Lagoon. I don't think it would be safe there because you know how Animal Kingdom, the surface is all bumpy. This is even more so, and it's
kind of twists and turns
to make it look more tropical.
Yeah, I think lighting may be an issue too.
Blizzard Beach, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I would expect the same. And we had a few more that I wanted to share that were very clever too. Some more Star Wars, and then Kristen Gray said that she would like it if Disney did satellite races in other cities, and bring some Disney entertainment into major cities and utilize local entertainment, and they could bring characters there too. So I think that's a nice idea.
I think that the registrations would probably be $225 to $275 per person because Disney would not have control over the roads like they do over their own property. So that would be, again, another issue. And that, to me, is an issue that when I first saw the Disneyland Paris mention, the first thing I thought is, whoa, that's the most expensive city in the world. How much would it cost to shut that city down and to hire the local police force to take care of the traffic and everything? So,
well, the rumor we saw about that race is that it might be about $70 U.S. dollars to run the race. So I don't know. I don't know how they would do that.
Because it cost $1,070 to get there.
And the a lot of the race between 8 and 9 miles might be on country roads. So I would like to share mine, aside from the Muppets. Would that be okay? Mm-hmm. I would love to see a Pirates-themed race. I think it would be really cool to have just pirates. I don't know if that would be doable for, you know, in terms of entertainment for a whole half marathon, but I think that would be really fun. Maybe for a 5K.
I think when I was thinking about this, the first thing I was thinking about is that they have races in January, February. They don't have anything in March. They don't have anything in April. And then when you get into the summer months, it gets really, really much of an issue when you think about the heat, especially in Orlando. So my thought would be to have an April Fool's race the first week or the weekend in April. And what would be foolish about it would be instead of starting the race at 6 o'clock in the morning, you start it at midnight and you run, or maybe even 2 a.m., and you run to sunset. You run to daylight, so that when you finish the the race, most of the people, let's say within an hour or so of each other, would finish with the sun coming up. And I thought about doing that, and maybe the big problem would be trying to figure out what course would be the best for that. But I've always thought that would be pretty cool. And imagine the challenge of trying to figure out how you would do your schedule a day or two beforehand. How many of us, when we look at something like Tower of Terror or the Wine and Dine, we think, okay, so I'm running at night, so now I got to figure out how my schedule is going to be. How am I going to rest? How am I going to eat? All that kind of stuff. But imagine if you were starting a race at 2 a.m. and you had to get to the gathering area at midnight. So that's what I thought about.
Mike Paxson, didn't you say your race would be overnight too?
His was 12 hours, though.
Oh. 12 hours. I love the idea. When you mentioned this a few weeks ago for the nighttime marathon starting at midnight, I would love that. I think that, you know, it'd be a lot cooler. You would have the temperature sort of not, wouldn't be as much of an issue. I think they would have to maybe do something with lighting on some of those back roads.
Yes.
But other than that, I think it's a phenomenal idea.
No
they
traffic
really
issues.
Enhanced the lighting, though. During Wine and Dine, I was surprised at how light it was while we ran.
Yes.
It did seem to be a little bit better. Not to jump back to the Paris thing, but Megan, I think you wanted to say something, a little bit more information about the potential of the Paris race.
Yes. We did hear that they were anticipating about $1,000 for lodging, park ticket, and the race. But that doesn't include airfare, which I'm assuming is going to be just probably about that same price on top.
Wow. Sounds like road trip, people.
So,
or plane trip.
Before we finish, I'll tell you, wrapping all of this up with what I see as another rumor, that it was very, very subtle thing that Run Disney sort of mentioned this week. And there was a small post in which they showed two photographs, and all they said was sunrise or sunset. And to me, that means that, Mike, it very well could be that they're thinking about something that you and I have talked about on this show tonight, that they may be thinking about another nighttime race and maybe something that involves running to sunrise. Or I'm thinking more running to sunrise than running to sunset, or maybe running from sunset to sunrise. So let's keep our eyes on that one. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think nighttime is just really easy. It was a lot easier logistically with the parks shut down. I think that's something they've got to be looking at. I think also the whole adding the 10K to the Disneyland half, I think that they're running out of weekends without events that are cool enough temperature-wise that they're going to have to start looking at more adding an extra race during an existing race weekend, either that's Wine and Dine or Princess. I think we're going to see that happen next year as well.
I agree. I know that they were talking about expanding Princess Weekend, and I think adding that middle distance race, you know, that 10K, something for people to keep working up towards, I think you're probably going to see more of that.
Yeah, we've talked about that a lot before with people about, you know, how tricky it is to go from a 5K to a half marathon. In fact, we're going to do a show soon about that, but I think you're right. Depending on how that 10K distance goes in Disneyland, we could see more of that. But I think any iteration of, you know, day, night, I'll try anything. I think everybody on this show would probably say the same thing.
We did hear at one of the meetups, one of the social media meetups, I can't remember which Run Disney guy it was, but one of them said that they wouldn't do a race without running through a park. So that is something to keep in mind. I think it's just because there's such a big draw with running through the park that that's kind of what they're known for.
Oh, interesting.
Well, if there's anything that happens, I'm sure we will hear about it somewhere between 9 and 12 months ahead of time, because that seems to be their modus operandi of letting the potential participants know somewhat between 9 months and 12 months, just like they did with the Dumbo Double Dare and other things. Michelle, last words?
I just want to thank all of you for being on the show, but also thank everybody who took the time to write their ideas on the Facebook page, and keep them coming. I'd like to hear more ideas of what would be your fantasy Disney race.
I'm curious to see which prediction will come true. Which prediction will come true. And with that, we want to, again, I want to echo Michelle's words. I want to thank Charlie Gessner and Megan Biller, and of course, old friend Mike Paxton for coming on and sharing their dreams for a Disney Run Disney event. And Michelle, I will see you next time. And anything, Michelle?
No, thank you.
Okay. So for Charlie and for Megan and for Mike and for Michelle and for me, Mike Scopa, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.